James chapter 8 this morning. As we've been preaching from each book of the Bible, message from each book, we've been going back and forth between the Old Testament and New Testament. And we find ourselves this morning in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8. Now, Amos, as a prophet, was given the job of warning, of trying to get the people's attention in their lives. Now, the time Amos was a prophet, during this time, this was a time of prosperity. This was towards the end of the northern kingdom. Remember, there ended up being the two kingdoms and all that took place. This is towards the end of the northern kingdom. And during the time end of the northern kingdom, they were facing at this point, at this time, that he was going to come and give them this warning from God. This was a time of prosperity. This was a time that they had victory. This is a time that they had plenty of food. They had plenty of everything that they needed. This was a time that they were rejoicing and they had nothing to worry about, if you will. And this is the time that Amos goes and gives a message from the Lord to them and warns them about drought, warns them about a famine, warns them about something in their lives. And I want us to look at this thought this morning of a spiritual drought. Now, as we will see and we relate what has taken place in their lives and we'll see what happens and apply it to our lives, usually we are struggling in our lives with a spiritual famine or a spiritual drought when things are going well. When things are going well in our lives, this is when we struggle the most. Because if you talk to many people, what do they say? The closest they've ever been to God is when they're going through some hardship in their lives. They pray more when they're going through some hard times. They go to church more when they're going through some struggles. When they're going through the hardships of their lives, that's when they get more spiritual, if you will, is during that time. But when everything's going good, who needs God? When everything's going good, the mindset in many individuals' lives is, who needs to be faithful? Who needs to be involved? Who needs to be serving? Who needs to be doing? Everything's going great. Everything's going wonderful for me. Why do I need God at this point? Some of you have older kids, and you've had kids that you raised in a godly home, and you trained them, and you taught them, and yet for some reason they chose their own pathway, and they've gone away from God, and they've gone their own direction, their own way, and you try to tell them, you try to encourage them, but they say, well, everything's going great for me. I have the blessings. I have all this. I have a great job. I don't need God at this time in my life. And sometimes a parent even prays what? God, whatever it takes, get a hold of my child because I want my child to come back to you. And what does it take? It takes them going through a time of famine or drought in their lives where everything is removed from them, and it brings them to that place that they realize once again that they need God. And what we need to see as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, Israel is very typical of us. They go around and it keeps happening the same way. We know what happens with Israel. They live for God for a certain part of time. Then they decide, hey, you know what? Everything's going great. I don't need God anymore. They start doing their own thing. God sends a captivity. God sends some type of chastisement. He wakes them up. And during this time, they repent of it. They get right with God. And they start living for God again for a little while. Then all of a sudden they start to do their own thing. We are just like that in America today. We're just like that in our churches today. We keep going in that same cycle of our lives. And we need to be woken up. The reason God sent prophets in that day was not to foretell future like some people think. It was to warn them and to wake them up. The way they're headed is not the direction they should be going. As we come and we read the Word of God, as we come and hear messages taught and preached, the purpose is to wake us up to God and what God wants in our lives. It it's to help each of us to take a deep look within and to see where we are truly at in our lives and to realize that none of us are perfect, but none of us are ever going to attain. And there's always places of improvement for every one of our lives. And if we don't keep that looking in, soon we can fall into the same categories, the same areas that the children of Israel did, that others have done before us. And what has happened on a whole in America and around this world is we are in a spiritual drought today. We're in a spiritual drought within our churches today. We're in this place that many have been. And each generation keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Now, each generation ought to be teaching the next generation the things of God, but it's not happening. And we find ourselves in a spiritual drought. If you're able to, please stand with me and read from Amos chapter 8 this morning. Starting in verse number 11. Amos chapter 8, starting in verse number 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the man of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at your scriptures this morning, that you would illuminate it to us. Lord, you would show us the truths we need to glean and heed in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Brenda, can you mute the monitor speakers? I'm getting an echo from those this morning. Look with me in verse number 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. There's a crisis declared. I wanted to see as we look at a spiritual drought, there is a crisis declared. And what is being declared by the prophet, and I want you to look at the wording of this. Look at the wording because I want you to understand where this message is coming from. I want us to see this is not just a message from Amos. And as we come to church, we have to realize the message that we get in our services is not just a message from the pastor. It is the message from the Lord. Look with me as it says this. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord God. The Lord God says the days are coming. The Lord God says there's going to be a famine. The Lord God says this is the message that needs your attention. The crisis is here. It's declared. And the crisis that is declared is that there's a famine. But the message comes from God. Something like this on our way in. I hope the pastor has a great message. Oh, I hope it's something that I need today. Well, let me tell you, the message does not come from the pastor. The message comes from God.
The message, if a pastor is preaching the word of God, the message comes from God. And no matter what portion of scripture it is, there is something that every one of us can take and glean and apply to our hearts and to our lives. Because this is a message that God has. It's by no accident that you're here this morning. It's by no accident you're watching online this morning. It's by no accident that this is the portion of scripture we're in. This is what God has for us. And God knows that we need it. And every one of us need this portion of scripture. As much as I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. We all need this message because all of us struggle with some of the same areas that the children of Israel struggle with. So we look at this. The crisis declared. It came from God, but what is the crisis? I will send a famine in the land. Now, famine was common. Famine happened many times. You could do a research and you could do a study. There's many times throughout Scripture there's a famine. That's what caused Abraham to go. That's what in Joseph and his brothers and all. You can go through many portions of Scripture. You find out a famine was common. You can go through even our history, more recent history. And you can go through portions of times where different countries and different places had famines. You could see where even in Ireland they had a potato famine that killed 1 to 2 million people because of the famine. And there's all this. There's been famines throughout the land. Famine does something. It doesn't just restrict your food. It comes to a place you have nothing. It's not just you can't have your favorite type of food. You come to a place that you have no food. Famine comes in and it wipes everything out. It is dry. There is nothing. Now, this summer has been a little different than most. Usually we get hot and we stay extremely hot for a long period of time. We usually have a couple weeks, especially in July, that we're over 100 for 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time, and it's extreme heat. Now, they say it's a dry heat, but you know what? So is an oven is dry heat. Doesn't matter. It's still hot. And you have this. Now, those that grew up in the Midwest like myself, there is a little difference. We understand. It doesn't feel like you just took a shower every 2 seconds because of the humidity back in the Midwest. But the heat is still hot. And as hot as it gets, there's some times here that we are technically, as you know, in a desert place here. If we did not have the irrigation system that we have, we would have very dry areas and things would burn up. How many of you are having issues with your grass right now? Even though you water a lot and you put a lot of water on that. Most of our ground around here is sand. It is not real soil, all right? It's more of a sandy, and it's hard. Those that have done any work around here at the church, this used to be farmland. And it's not the nicest land, is it, Rich? Because there's tons of rocks. Judy, you remember this. There's tons of rocks there. And there's hard clay and this, and you have to get down and past that. You can even get someone to come in and till it up, and we've added soil to it. We've done stuff in the back with the garden and different things, and it's still hard. If you look over here where they're getting ready to build and do some stuff, you see thousands of rocks just laying on top of the ground there. And the idea is this, it gets to a place that is dry, and nothing is going to grow. It gets to a place that is so much of a famine that people are starving. Now, some of you kids say, well, I understand what starving is. Because my mom made Brussels sprouts for dinner. And because she made Brussels sprouts for dinner, and she told me I had to eat those first. And if I didn't eat those first, I couldn't have anything else. And I didn't want to eat those, so I sat there stubborn and didn't eat my Brussels sprouts, and I starved. I went to bed, and my stomach gurgitated because it was just starving. It was talking to me, saying, please feed me. But no, my mama said, no, you can't have it because you didn't eat your Brussels sprouts. Now, Brussels sprouts are one of the best vegetables out there, by the way. That and asparagus are the two best vegetables out there. If you don't like them, you're not saved. Just kidding. Going to get hate mail now. But that's not starving. A famine creates starvation, and what starvation does is because you have a lack of nutrition, you have a lack of what you need, your body starts to deteriorate within. And it starts to deteriorate within, which will affect the outside. And your whole body system is made to work. So your liver works, your kidneys work, everything works, but it has to have the nutrition, it has to have the blood flow, it has to have everything that it's supposed to have. And once you don't have everything, your body starts to starve, everything starts to shut down. Everything comes to a place. Now, some of you have faced dehydration before because you've been out in the heat, you haven't drank enough water that you should be drinking, you haven't done that, but it's more than just the dehydration. Everything starts to shut down. And if you don't get the nutrition you need, you decay and you die. That's what famine causes. And the warning is this: behold, get this, look, listen, hear what God has to say. There's a famine coming. I want us to understand something this morning. There's a crisis declared. There's a famine coming. There's a famine coming in our homes. There's a famine coming in our churches. There's a famine coming in this world. There's coming to a place where people are going to decay and die, spiritually speaking. There's a famine coming. But not only is there a crisis declared, there's a crisis explained. Look with me again in verse number 11. I want you to see this. That I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord. He says, it's not a famine that you're thinking. I believe when he first said, behold, listen to what God says. There's a famine coming. They're thinking, oh, here we go again. We're going to go without the food. We're going to go without this. We better start stockpiling. We better start doing this. Then he said, but this is not the famine. This is not the crisis declared. This is not the crisis explained. This is not what is happening. The crisis that is happening is not talking about a physical famine. It's talking about a spiritual famine. He explains and said, this is not about bread. This is not about water. This is not about hunger. This is not about thirst. This is about not hearing the word of the Lord. Now here's the issue. Some people probably in that day and people today said, so what's the big deal? If I have food, if I have water, what's the big deal if I don't hear the word of God? You see, there's a spiritual famine coming. The crisis is explained that this is a spiritual issue. There's going to come to a place where you cannot and do not hear the word of God. Now, some have disagreed exactly what it's saying. The bottom line is what it's saying is you're going to come to a place that if you hear it, you don't receive it. Or it comes to a place you're not going to hear it in general. Any way you look at it, you're not going to hear the word of the Lord. Well, what's the big deal, preacher? Well, look around us for a moment this morning. The Bible tells us in the New Testament what? There's going to be a day coming in the last days. There's going to be those that want their ears tickled and not hear the preaching of the word of God. There's a day coming where people don't want to hear and they're not going to heed the word of God. They're not going to listen to the word of God. Oh, preacher, I already know enough about the Bible. I don't need to hear anymore. Well, the Bible says we need to be growing daily in the word of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to keep feeding and not just taking the being spoon-fed. We need to dig in and get the word of God and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And what is taking place is there's this explained that there's coming a day where the word of the Lord is not going to be heard. You say, preacher, well, that never happened. Look around you. Do you know there was a time when, as Americans, we sent out more missionaries than any other country, and no one even worried about sending missionaries here? Because everywhere you went, there was a Bible-believing church sharing the word of God. We know the South is referred to as the Bible Belt. We know that those that have been brought up in the South, every corner you turn, there's a church, and normally a Baptist church. Now, you got to be careful in the South with that, all right? And everywhere you turn, there's a church. And at one time, every one of those churches preached the word of God. There was a time coming you could go to other parts of this country. You could go to different areas of the Midwest and different places and you would find Bible-believing churches teaching and preaching the word of God. You could come out here and you would find many churches in many of your areas. You would only have one or two churches out here in this area. But they were Bible-believing churches. They taught the word of God. They shared the word of God. The gospel was preached. It was taught. But there's a famine coming. There's a spiritual famine coming. The crisis is explained. The problem is, it's not anymore. Do you know most churches, the preacher is afraid to preach about sin. In most churches, there are many who will never mention that abortion is against God. Homosexuality is against God. Transgender is against God. There's many churches that are afraid to stand for the truth of the Word of God and say, this is what God says. Now, God loves a sinner, but he hates a sin. God does not hate them. He hates the direction they're going and wants them to get right with him and come back to a relationship with him. God loves them with all his heart, with all his soul. God loves them, and God wants to see them come to him. But we have to understand that there's a time coming, and it's here, and it's going to get worse and worse of this famine, spiritually speaking, where we're not going to hear the word of the Lord. There is a time where people could not get enough of coming to God's house and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. I tell you, there was a time when people shouted and they were excited to come into the house of the Lord. And amen, they couldn't wait. And they would say to the preacher, please step on my toes this morning. Now, oh preacher, stay away from my toes. Stay away from my fingers. You need to stay away from me. You just give me all the Greek and all the Hebrew, and you give me all this. Now, there's nothing wrong with knowing Greek. There's nothing wrong with knowing Hebrew. There's nothing wrong with studying it out, understanding the whole context and the meaning of the portion of Scripture. But what has happened is people have gotten so intellectual with the Word of God that all they do is give history and facts and dates, and there's nothing wrong with those. But God's Word is to what? Pierce our hearts, to wake us up, to warn us, to bring us back to Him and get us right with Him. What needs we need to be, we need God's word. And it's coming to a place where you can't hear preaching anymore. Now, I understand everyone has different styles. I understand everyone has different ways of doing it. But God's word is the same. And God's word must be preached, proclaimed, and we must hear it, we must heed it, and we must apply it. But a famine's coming. There's a famine coming in our homes, spiritual famine. Where your kids were eager, your family was eager to spend time around the Word of God together. Now you can't even get your kids together. Your kids choose if they come to church or not. Your kids decide if they're going to listen or not in church. Your kids do this, and there's a spiritual famine coming. There's a spiritual famine coming when the parents used to, in love, say, you don't have a choice. You're going to be in God's house with me. Now, in this generation, parents make deals with their kids. If you go to church, I'll take you out to eat. If you go to church, I'll do this for you. Wait, there's a spiritual famine coming. And there's a drought happening. Because we need to get back to the place where we want to hear the Word of God. Get back to a place where our kids, our children, our spouses want to hear the Word of God. There's a spiritual drought coming. Not only is it declared, not only is it explained, but I want you to see the reason of the crisis. Look with me, verse 11 and then verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, but not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And then drop down to verse 14. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the man of Beersheba liveth, and even they shall fall and never rise up again. Who sent this famine? Where did this famine come from? This famine came from God. Wait. Why would God send a famine to the land? Why would God say, I will send this? Thus saith God, I will send a famine. I will give a famine. Why is this coming to a place where this famine came from God? The whole purpose was to wake the people up. And we're going to see the consequences in a minute. That's the next point. But we're going to see God sends this. God allows this. God says, this is what's going to happen. You turn a deaf ear, then I'll turn a deaf ear to you. And you're going to get to this place. And they're going to come to a place where they must realize that they need God. God sends the famine. Why does God allow things in our lives? To wake us up. You ever realize why there's some things you and I've gone through in our lives? It sends us a warning that God's judgment is coming. This is what these verses do. God's judgment is coming. And God's judgment is to wake us up. God says, I send the famine. This is the judgment upon you because of your sin and because where you're at and because you think you don't need me. You think you can live any way you want to live. I want us to understand something this morning. When you and I get to a place that we think we don't need God, and I'm talking right now to those who claim to know God. I'm not talking to the unsaved at this point right now. I'm talking to those who have claimed a relationship with Him. When we get to a place that we say we can live however I want to live, I can do whatever I want to do, and we do not have remorse over our sin, God's judgment is going to come. God is going to send His judgment. And even the purpose of this judgment, even though they're going to come to a place that there's a spiritual drought of hearing the word of God, the purpose is to get their attention and to wake them up. The purpose this morning, as we look at the book of Amos, is to wake us up as a nation. To wake us up as a nation. To realize, unless America on a whole comes back to God, the judgment of God is going to come upon America. I understand as a believer that those in Christ were going to be gone. We understand the tribulation period. We understand all that's going to happen, all going to take place. I understand as a believer I'm going to be home with Him in heaven. I understand all that. But judgment is coming to America. I believe judgment has come. I believe we're going to see more as we go down the lines. I believe some of the things have gone through the last about 6 months, almost 7 months now, God's trying to get a hold of individuals. Oh, you can say it came from this person, that person. It came from this country, that country. It could be political. It could be this. It could be that. And it's all those things above. But I believe God can and will use it as a source of judgment to get a hold of America. I believe we need to look back as believers and realize, what am I supposed to gain and glean and get from this going through what we're facing as a nation? I believe judgment is coming because of our spirit, or of what where we're at, how we live in. A spiritual famine is coming. I believe what is this whole purpose is to wake us up and realize we need to turn from our wicked ways. But look with me in verse 12. Verse 13. It says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to the east, that they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgin's young men faint for thirst. The consequences of this crisis, it produces a restlessness and weariness in our lives. What is happening, the people are wandering, trying to find what they're missing. Spiritual famine is going to come. The word of the Lord is not going to be heard. It's a source of judgment to wake up the people. But what's going to happen is they're going to wander from place to place trying to find something to fill their void. And nothing they can find is going to fill their void in their lives. Because they can't hear the word of God. And the word of God is the only thing that's going to give them the peace that they need. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy their soul. That's the only thing that's going to help us as believers, is we need to hear the word of God. But the coming of time where they're going to be wandering, they're going to be moving around, trying to find, restless and weary, and not getting what they need. There's a time coming where we as a church take for granted all that we have. We have a building. We have good people. We have an okay preacher. We have the blessings of being able to hear the word of God. But you ever realize something? You are excited about what you have till you don't have what you have. Some of you remember the time when you got your first car. And most of us, especially older people, our first car was not the best car that was available. In our day and age, we weren't able to buy our parents' old one. We weren't able to, because they drove them till they were ready to die. You weren't able to go out and get something nice. Usually scraped a few $100 up to maybe $1,000 together, working and doing stuff. And you were excited about that first car you could buy. No matter how ugly it was, no matter how rusted it was, especially those in the Midwest, no matter if you were afraid it was going to get to point A to point B, you didn't care, because it was your car. And you had that car, and you drove that car. And you love that car. Then it got to a point, you started seeing other people had a lot nicer cars. And then you started to wish you could have that nicer car. You heard about how someone's grandparents bought them a car. And you thought, wish I had grandparents like that. And you see the nicer cars, and you started to want it. And then you started hating your car. You were at a point, you used to wash your car every day, rust or not. You even wax the rust. Then it got a point, I'm never going to wash it. I don't care. There was a time you checked the tire pressure every day. You checked the oil every day, because if you didn't, it would blow up. And you did all that. But then it got to a place, I don't care about it. And then when that car died, you thought, well, no big deal. The car's dead. But then you realized, I can't get from point A to point B anymore. You started to try to get rides from other people. Some even took the bus. They took other avenues trying to get places. And you know what happened? They used to take that car for granted. But they got to the point they realized they wished they had the car back. Rust and all. Many believers have taken God, the church, and the things of God for granted. And we say we don't need God anymore. Oh, I'm saved. I have a relationship with him, but I can just live how I want to live. I don't have to be faithful to church. I don't have to be faithful in giving. I don't have to be faithful in his word. I don't have to be faithful in prayer. I don't have to be faithful in those areas. I can just keep going. I don't need to hear the word of God anymore. I don't have to have personal devotions. I don't have to have those things. I can just keep going the way I want to go. And then there's a time coming where you're going to go through a spiritual famine, a spiritual drought in your life. And then you're going to realize, I wish I could go back to where I was. I wish I could go back to where I was in church. I wish I could go back to the place that I was being fed and taught. I wish I could go back to that place in my life. We We've seen it so often in our young people in the next generation. What has happened is they've gone in the place they don't think they need God. And as soon as they get out of the home, they run from God. They're not in church. They're not faithful to church. And then 10, 20, 30 years down the road, oh, I wish I could just be back with my mom and my dad in church. I wish I could just be back to the place where God was working in my life and I was hearing the word of God. But it's even true of our people our age. It is happening that people have gotten to a place that they have gone spiritually, had a spiritual drought, famine in their lives, and they've gotten to the place they wish they could return back. Now, I'm so glad, no matter how far you go, no matter how brittle you become, God still loves you and me. And I'm so glad we can go back. But let me tell you, it's never like it used to be. Why? Because there's consequences that take place and consequences that happen. Now, as much as you love your child, when your child does something, you have to deal with that child. And as much as you try, there's always a struggle to get back to that place. I'm glad God loves, I'm glad God forgives, I'm glad all those things. But what happens when you have baggage? Baggage affects you. Now, some of you like to torture yourself and you like to run. Some of you like to blow out your knees and all that stuff. Some of you like to beat yourself up. We can take care of that a different way if you like, but I don't know why you would want to run. I think that was a curse from the garden, all right? I think running is a curse. It's in there somewhere. But as you're going through, as your life, and as this is happening, there's consequences. If I was going to run a race, what am I going to do? Am I going to take extra baggage? Brother Dave likes to torture himself. And let me ask you, Brother Dave, are you going to decide to go run one of those 5Ks or 10Ks or one of those thingamajigs? And are you going to grab a suitcase and ask Carla, please put a couple hundred pounds of weights in the suitcase? And you're going to carry both suitcases side by side, and you're going to run that race with that baggage. Now, you could run that race, but what happens? You're going to run slow. Why? Because you have all that baggage. You have all that baggage. When we get to a place that we turn from God, I'm glad God forgives. I'm glad God's there. But what we do is we put ourselves with a lot of baggage. Now, God can clear up that baggage. God can take care of that baggage. God can deal with it. But there's a struggle. There's a spiritual famine coming. We're in a spiritual famine. We're in a spiritual drought this morning in our country, in our homes, and in our churches. We're to a place where people don't think they need God, and God's word is going to be withheld from them. There's a place coming where we think we know better than God. We're seeing it. But old child of his, don't stay in that place in your life. Come back to him. Yes, you'll have some baggages, but he'll forgive you. Yes, you'll have some struggles, but he'll help you. He'll give you what you need. And we need to come back to him. You know what's going to change this nation? You know what's going to change this world? You know why they got to this place? Is because they didn't heed the word of God. You know what's going to change everything? Is getting back to where the word of God is proclaimed and taught. There is a time, and we're in this time, where people thought, well, we need to change how we do church. If we start entertaining instead of preaching, we're going to get this next generation. Well, let me ask you, those that have been around a while, how well has it worked to get the next generation? It hasn't. what's going to get this next generation is the same thing that got a hold of hearts from every generation from the beginning of time, is the preaching of the Word of God. What's going to make a difference in your home is not making a deal with your child, but it's getting back to the Word of God and having the Word of God preached and taught in your homes. What's going to make a difference in this world is us getting back to where God's Word is proclaimed. And that's what we need today. That's what we need in this community. This is what we need in this world. And this is what we need in our churches and our homes today. Is God's Word being preached. Let me ask you and myself a question this morning. Where are we at this morning? Where are we truly at? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for this warning that was given to them. Lord, help us to take the warning and apply it to our hearts and our lives as well. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see where we're at in our lives, and that we truly respond in the way that please you. Lord, we pray if there's one that does not know you, Savior, that even today they would come to a saving knowledge of you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name.